Well, good morning, everybody. It is an awesome day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We had a great 24 hours of prayer. I just want to say thank you to everybody that participated. I think it's really important to have a prayer life for us and for the church. And we all know our country needs prayer right now. I'm just really, for me, it seems like the Holy Spirit's really underscoring for me to be about the Father's business and about building His kingdom and not so worried about politics and a presidency or even a nation, because His kingdom's above this nation. Amen? I'm a Christian first, then I'm an American. When I get to heaven, I only be a Christian. So I want to stick with stuff that's eternal and permanent. So let's just start with some prayer, and then I'll invite the worship teams to come on up. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for stirring us, for touching us, for encouraging us, for filling us with Your presence. Thank You, God, for all the answered prayer. Lord, we spent a lot of time in prayer the last day, as You well know. And Lord, we just believe that You do hear our prayers and that You answer our prayers. And so we just want to say thank You, God, for bringing us in here. Thank You for stirring our hearts with specific things to pray. And thank You, Lord, for bringing Your will to pass in our lives. So today, Father, as we worship You, as we get in the Word, and as we fellowship, would You please, first off, keep us safe from the flu, from COVID, from any other stuff that's going around. Would You please protect Your people and keep us safe, keep us strong, keep us secure. And Lord, we pray for a continued fresh fire in this place, for our churches, for our people, for our families, Lord, that we would be on fire for the risen Christ. Would You please do that today? Please bless our worship, Lord. Bless the team as they work together. Just bless them, Lord. I pray for fullness of joy to be upon them as they lead us into Your presence. I ask this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Hey, worship team, if you want to come on up, that'd be great.
Amén. Estamos leyendo en Salmos 91 que dice, el que habita en el con el Altísimo descansará en él. Estamos confiando en que estamos bajo el cuidado del Altísimo.
Thank you. obrando, aunque no pueda ver, estás obrando. Siempre estás obrando, siempre estás obrando, aunque no pueda ver, estás obrando, aunque no pueda ver, estás obrando. Siempre estás obrando, siempre estás obrando. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I can't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Milagroso, abres camino, cumples promesas.
When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. And I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory.
Oh,
turn it for good. You turn it for good. Tu luz viene del enemigo. Lo transformas para bien. Lo transformas para bien. Voy a ver la victoria. Voy a ver la victoria. La batalla es tu. Victoria, voy a ver la victoria. La batalla es tuya, Señor. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Father, your scripture says some people believe in chariots and some people trust in horses, but we believe and trust in the Lord our God. Lord, we believe we will see the victory. We'll see the victory in our lives. Those of us that are struggling with something, an infirmity or a sickness, Lord, we're going to see your victory in that. Those of us that are struggling financially, we're going to see your victory in that. Those of us that might be struggling with conflict in our families or depression, or conflict at work, or any of these things, Lord, you bring in your victory. Because the battle is the Lord's, and we trust you, Lord, and we thank you so much for your goodness to us all the time. Our lives are living examples of your faithfulness and your trust and your goodness and your love to us. We just want to say thank you, Lord. If we don't get anything else right today, Lord, we want to get this right. You get all the honor, all the credit, all the glory, all the praise belongs to you, the Lord our God. Thank you, God, for such a wonderful salvation that you've given to each one of us. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your wonderful gift of salvation. Lord, as we keep going today, I just pray for Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to open our spiritual eyes, to be able to see spiritual truths in your word. And Holy Spirit, would you please, this is a day that's in front of all of our eyes. Holy Spirit, would you please translate and interpret biblical, scriptural, spiritual truths to each one of us so that we get it? Simple as that. Would you help us to get it? I ask this in Jesus Christ's mighty name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you, worship team. That was awesome. Man, you guys did really good. So we don't have any children's church today and no Sunday school. This week, we still don't have any of our small groups. Our life groups are not meeting this week. So I just want to remind everybody of that. And also just to be mindful of each other's bubble. That's kind of my phraseology because, you know, with the whole social distancing thing, and people are different places and have different things going on in their lives. So let's just make sure we're respectful of the other person's 6 feet. And if they don't want you in it, don't go in it. How's that for simple? Okay? Or at least ask them before you go there. Then they can tell you no. That's nice. Okay, so I think with that we can get to it. Pastor Tamo, would you like to say anything? Well, we're happy to have you guys here. We are. I don't know about you guys, but I really enjoyed my time here last night. I really felt like God spoke to me on a couple of different things. I got pages of notes that I'm going to have to go back and pray through and filter through that stuff and see what was just my clever thinking and what was actually the Holy Spirit talking to me. And so I just encourage you guys, if you didn't write any notes down, if God put something on your heart, write that thing down, because our human minds and our human memories are so frail that when God speaks, so sometimes we can forget it within a couple of days. If you're like me, I'll speak about myself. So it's nice for me to pull those things back out and go, oh, that's exactly right. Lord, I'm sorry for forgetting that. Lord, I believe this is going to happen. I believe you spoke this to me. So we can kind of keep the promises alive and moving forward. Amen? So if you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, please? So after service, we're going to have a pizza lunch right over there in the fellowship room. And I just want to have everybody just remember to respect each other in there and, you know, keep some distance going on. If you're uncomfortable with eating in a group, that's totally fine. We actually have plastic bags and some gloves. So if you want to just pack up a couple pieces of pizza and take it home with you, that's fine. So whatever you feel comfortable with, there's plenty of pizza for everybody. And I just want everybody to basically share the meal with us, whether you're doing it at home or here. Amen? Okay, so 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 is the most famous verse in 2 Chronicles. I would guess most of us here know this almost by heart. So 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14 says this: "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." We're all pretty familiar with that. Well, today I want to just kind of expand on that a little bit and show kind of what was going on leading up to that, and even kind of like expand it a little bit, because in this prayer and the answer and everything that's going on here in the temple, I believe that God gave a couple of different promises. I think he made a promise to the nation, and I think he made a promise to the church. And so, like, right now, in my life, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, no matter who's going to be president, they're going to be a bad president, and America deserves it because that's just where we're at, and so it's time for us to get judged. And all. You know what? I don't know about all that stuff. Maybe America does deserve that, but as a Christian, us as Christians, Jesus took our judgment. Right? So I don't deserve no judgment. Right? And so even in the midst of this, and I don't know how all this stuff's going to play out over the next 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, right? But I'm confident that I stand with Christ. And that's where the conflict comes in, because some people want to eradicate the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm not one of them. I stand for Jesus Christ. And by doing that, I come under the promises and provision of God Almighty. Amen? So as we look at this today, just kind of keep it in mind. What happens to the nation and what they do with God? And what happens in the church? Right? Because that's who we are. So today I just want to try to encourage us with some of the promises of God. We just got done with the prayer vigil. And a few weeks ago, probably about a month ago, when God put that on my heart, it just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, you know, it's going to be a good time to be praying for this nation, for our community, for our churches, because no matter who gets elected, there's going to be a whole bunch of people that don't like it. And so in the midst of this, we are the peacekeepers. We are the promise keepers. We bring the presence of God with us into every situation. So today, as we look at this verse and some of the verses before, I just want to encourage you guys with this idea. You're God's people. You're special and unique on the planet. It goes way past any political affiliation or any kind of stand in the polls or any of this other junk. We're above that because we're God's favorites. We're literally God's favorites. So in this story, you can follow along if you want, or I'll just read some of these verses. We're going to end up back in 2 Chronicles 7. But in this, that's like when we read that verse that we just read, it's the culmination of the last few chapters. In 2 Chronicles 5, verse 6, they're setting up this temple, and they're basically dedicating the temple to God. Solomon has just completed a multi-year project. He's got this amazing temple. All of it's all set. They brought the ark in, and they're doing all these sacrifices to God to basically open the place up. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, just to give you an idea of the scope of this, it's amazing. It says, "Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him before the ark were sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude." So Solomon and then all the other leaders there and all the community, they literally brought so many animals to be sacrificed on this opening day of the altar, they couldn't count them. And for me, I'm thinking, well, that must have been a lot. But we actually find out a little bit more back in 2 Chronicles 7 where we started out. Verse 5 there says, this is a whole different set of sacrifices I'll touch on. But it says, "King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls." Where do you hold 22,000 bulls so you can bring them in and sacrifice them? That was nothing. He did his 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. Can you imagine looking out there and seeing 142,000 animals waiting to be sacrificed? What? So if they could number them, almost 150,000 animals, they numbered them. But when it started out, it said there was so many you couldn't count them. How many was that? Because this is separate than the other ones. So when this thing starts out, there's literally more than 150,000 animals. Was there 200? Was there 500,000? They didn't even guess. So you couldn't count it. Don't even try. Wow. So then count up to 142,000, but the other was too much. And as they worshiped, God filled this place with his presence. The glory cloud of God came down at the dedication of Solomon and the people, and his presence filled the temple. It was like a glory cloud, is how the Bible describes it. The cloud came in, and it came in so thick, his presence, his tangible presence so thick, they had stopped doing church. That's what it said. It said they couldn't minister anymore. Wouldn't it be awesome to have God's presence so heavy at church that it's like I drop the mic in a good sense? I got to just sit down because God's just so, wow, I can't take it. I can't even talk. Wouldn't that be awesome? Man. So 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14, this is what it says. "Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, and his mercy endures forever,' that the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud." And it's important to remember that phrase, the house of the Lord. They called it the temple, but it's also the house of the Lord. Where are we at? We're in the house of the Lord. And it's important to remember that distinction, the house of the Lord versus the nation. It says, "For his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. So the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Wow, that's amazing. This is chapter 5. Starts out with, there's so many animals, we can't even count them. They go through this, they're praising and worshiping, they kick this thing off, and the glory of God just falls on the house of God. So they just got to go, "Oh, hold it, stop." And if you go back and you read this, I encourage you to read chapters 5, 6, and 7 this week so you can see the perspective where I'm coming from. Chapter 6 is all about Solomon. He goes from the glory fell, and he basically stands in front of God and asks God's blessing on the nation, on the people, on everybody, on everything. Unbelievers that choose to come, they come in, "Lord, would you accept him?" He basically prays this universal prayer because God's presence is so full, I think his faith went right through the roof. And he's like, oh, you can do anything, God. You can save anybody. You can fix anything. You can transform whatever it is, God. Go, God. He takes a whole chapter praying like that. You got to read it. It's awesome. He gets done praying. Now remember, the glory cloud already fell. Solomon takes a whole chapter praying and basically declaring God's goodness and his power, his might, his promises. And then this is how chapter 7 starts. Verses 1 and 2. When Solomon had finished praying, I know this, and me and Pastor Tamel, this is our heart. When we pray at church, we'd love to see this. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Now, I took a little bit of time talking about the numbers. Can you imagine? Let's just take the smallest number we have. 22,000 bulls. They've been sacrificed. The meat's all set in order, all the hides, all the stuff that they do with the way that they did worship back then. And then fire comes down from heaven and consumes it. Whoa. This isn't like a fire pit, go get the marshmallows. Right? This is like, it would probably the size of a football field or more, including the stands, and fire came down and consumed. Have you ever tried to burn meat? I know none of us have tried. Have you ever burned meat? Yes. I've never burned meat so bad that the meat started on fire. Now, I've blackened it, I've crispied it up, and I've had to throw it away, but I never caught it on fire. The glory of God falls on all these animals, 142,000 that we counted, and the other we couldn't count, and torches it. Man, you know ain't nobody preaching after that. That's the sermon. Solomon and the priests provided the dedicated sacrifice, and God Almighty provided the fire. Amen? It's still the same for us, folks. It's still the same. We provide our heart. We are living sacrifices, but for fire, we need God. We can't stir up the fire within us. We can't just have good intentions and then be on fire for the Lord. We have to surrender as living sacrifices, and then the Holy Ghost comes on us, and the fire of God ignites us. Whew, man, this was on the uncountable, the unmeasurable, the wholehearted dedication of the church. It's the house of God. It's the house of God. Then, in verse 5, they do the numbered sacrifices and they provide the fire, perhaps from the coals of when God torched the first ones. I studied it. I can't figure out exactly who was doing exactly what, but I do know the fire of God fell and burned thousands and thousands of animals in an instant. So that's like the dedication of the temple. Then they party for a week. You can read it. They have a dedication party for a week. They all do this. They have a great time. Then Solomon basically sends everybody home. Verse 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, which is, this is where people read it, and then they look around and go, well, yeah, bad stuff's going to happen, and bad stuff should happen, and we even deserve bad stuff to happen to us, so that just all makes sense. They kind of get it from there, but they got to keep going. Verse 14, this is what God says. When bad stuff happens, it might be a wake-up call for y'all to come back to me. Verse 14, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We can't stop there, though. Look at verse 15 and 16. Now, my eyes will be open, and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I've chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. We have to see there's a big distinction between verse 14 that says, if and then, if our nation would repent, then God will do something, compared to verses 15 and 16, where God says, now and now. There's a big difference between if and then and now. Do you know in Zimbabwe they have a term, like if you ask, they say, well, we're going to do something later. And you go, okay, well, how much later? Is it now or just now? They use those two terms. So just now means it could be any time between now when Christ comes back. Now means we're going to go and do it right now. And so in verses 15 and 16, to me, with my little bit of Zimbabwe reference, it's like now means now, right now. I don't have to worry if America's going to repent. I don't have to worry about the Democrats, the Republicans, and Trump, and Biden, and Congress, and Senate, and oh my gosh, what's a governor, and COVID. Stop. That's for people that ain't right with God. We're part of the group where fire already fell. Do you remember when you got born again? Do you remember the day you got born again? Do you remember what that felt like? When you met the living God and he shared his presence with you on the inside. It was like, I don't have words to describe what I'm experiencing. That's what it felt like when I got saved. Because I wanted to go tell people. Everybody I knew was lost. But it's like, how do I describe this? I can't measure it. It doesn't have colors. I can't number it. It's just this amazing thing of the fire of God inside me that burned up all that dead junk, and now I have the glory and presence of God living inside me. Wow. The now of God. God says, starting now. He already said, if the nation, if you guys get in a bad place and you see my punishment with pestilence and locusts and all, if you see all that stuff, and if as a nation you repent, then I will help you. Then he comes back to the house of the Lord and he says, now my eyes will be open. It literally means he's watching us closely. Wow. So last night, yesterday, when you're in here praying, God was watching closely. He is paying close attention now. It says, my ears will be attentive to prayer, which literally means he's giving us his full attention. So when he says, my eyes, starting now, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive, he says, I'm watching close, I'm paying close attention to what's going on with you. Now. Whew. The if is for the nation. Once they backslide and bad stuff happens, if they repent, then God will help them. That's different than what he's talking about at the house of God as the temple gets ordained. He's saying now. Hey, church. Hey, dedicated church, you've been chosen by God to receive grace and mercy. He literally says that we're sanctified and set apart unto him. Now, not gonna. Now. This is a direct answer to prayer from Chronicles 6, 40 and 41, if you want to just flip back there. Because after all this amazing stuff happens at the temple, the now promise that God gives to Solomon is that I will have eyes on you and ears on you. Why would he say that? Well, part of the prayer in chapter 6, verse 40 and 41 was this. Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. Wow. So part of what Solomon had asked for was, Lord, keep an eye on us and pay attention to us. We need you. And so when he comes to him in this dream and he promises all this amazing stuff, he says, guess what? My eyes are on you. My ears are on you. I'm paying close attention to you guys. And your priests are going to be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. That ain't just some Old Testament temple, man. That's nowadays, right? We're all the priests of God. We're all clothed in salvation. Man, God's presence comes to rest, and that causes three things to happen. When God's presence came into this place, the heaven's fire fell on the sacrifice, and the priests were clothed with salvation, and the saints rejoiced in his goodness. That sounds like right here, right now for us, to me. As I'm watching both of our worship teams work together and lead us into the presence of God, man, I'm thinking salvation, I'm thinking goodness, I'm thinking God's joy. We are filled with the fire of God. We really are. Do you know why I can say that? Because when you got born again, God filled you and sealed you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the fire of God. In many places in the Bible, he is represented by the fire of God. The Holy Spirit came down on those sacrifices and burnt them up. How about us? The old people we used to be, those dead animals, the Holy Ghost fell on us when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior and burnt up that dead junk. Right? Man, now we're priests that are clothed in salvation, and we can, what most people would call, sing ordinary songs, but inside our spirits are rejoicing. Someone that's not born again would say, oh, that was just a boring song. It really wasn't all that, and I can't believe it. But those of us that have the Holy Ghost in us, fresh fire in us, we're like, oh, that was awesome. I only stood half of it, and it was still awesome. Right? We're filled with the fire of God. I can't say it enough, and I can't say it loud enough. We're filled with the fire of God. We're not trying to get it. If I'm good enough, then God, That's for them guys out there that don't know the Lord yet. Now, I'm filled with the fire of the Holy Ghost. We're clothed with salvation, right? If you're born again, you have the righteousness of Christ on you. That's robes of righteousness. Wow. Clothed with salvation. It comes to us through the blood of Jesus, not if I'm good enough later on in the future and I happen to do enough stuff right, then maybe. That's what religious people do that don't know the living God. Born-again Christians already know we're filled with fire, we're clothed in righteousness, and we're already in the now of God. Man. I'm trying to keep this short because I don't want to dilute it. And I encourage you to go back and read 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 6, and 7 and just see what happens with Solomon and the community of faith when they open up this temple and what God does and how he promises it. Because we're definitely going into a place in this country, and I think even worldwide, where there's going to be a lot of difficulties. There's going to be trials and testing. And if you don't know God, then you're going to be in a tough spot. But if you're clothed in righteousness, if you're carrying the fire of God inside you, if you're already a son or daughter of the Most High God, now is your good time. While they panic and worry about all the other stuff, we can rely and trust in God. Amen? I think it's going to be a great season for those, us, me and you, us brothers and sisters. It's going to be a great season for the people that know their God to be able to tell people about the message of hope. As there's lawsuits and investigations and as this stuff breaks and then more COVID and that shut down. And I'm not prophesying. This is stuff that we all are pretty sure is going to happen, right? As that happens, we can be the message of hope, though. We can pray for people and expect the fire to fall. We can pray for people and expect the goodness of God to show up. We can share the truth about the living God that got a hold of us, who saved us. We're proof. God takes anybody, right? There ain't nobody too bad. We're proof. We need to tell people in this time that's coming up, that's already difficult, but I think it might get a little worse. In the midst of that, the nation's worse, The house of God can still walk in the blessing of God, the favor of God, and the presence of God, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So this, the whole prayer vigil, I've been praying for fresh fire. That's just been my heart's desire. For me, Alex was here yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and he said something. He said he was praying for God to give us the same fire that we had when we first got saved. I think that's a good prayer. And it's just kind of stuck with me. I've been praying for fire, but it's like, okay, that kind of defines it. That total transformation of everything when I met Jesus Christ. My perspective and understanding changed completely. How about you guys? You know what I'm talking. You go from hopeless to hope. You go from anxiety to peace. You go from really no options to a God full of options. That's the fire of God. And so today I'm just going to ask anybody that wants fresh fire or maybe a reawakened fire, maybe coals blown on, maybe you have fire, you want more. Just go ahead and stand up right where you're at, and I'm going to pray for everyone. And then if you want personal prayer, you can come on up and I'll pray for you. But I understand right now that some people just want to, you know, err on the side of caution, if you will. So if you want fresh fire, go ahead and stand up right where you're at. And I'm just going to pray for fire to fall on anybody that makes that stand. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Heavenly Father, I believe today is a very, very special day. Very few times have we had church after we've been praying for 24 hours straight. I think maybe only two or three times in my whole life have I been in a place like that. Father, we believe that you're the God that answers prayers. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for fresh fire to fall on your sons and daughters right now, Father. Father, I ask for the power of God that fell that day when the temple was opened. The fire that fell through your power that literally consumed those dead animals, that same fire now would fall, would consume the dead stuff that's in our lives, would consume sicknesses that are in our lives, that would consume infirmities that's in our life, that would consume offenses that are in our lives. Lord, I pray, again, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the one and only risen Savior, the name like no other name, the name above every name. In Jesus' name, I pray for fresh fire to fall on every one of your people now, Lord, that they could enjoy you to a higher, greater level than they've ever known, that they could experience your presence more than they've ever had in their lives. And Father, I pray that this last 24 hours of prayer and this message today about the temple and the now, I pray, Lord, that we'd carry this out of this building and that we would share the wonderful presence, powerful fire of God with the people around us. Would you help us to do this now, Lord? We believe you answer prayer. We believe you watch over your word to confirm it. And Lord, we believe that we are the house of God, not this building, us. We are the house of God, and we take you with us wherever we go. Lord, I bless your flock in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful, precious Savior. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Is there anyone here that would like to come up for prayer? Because I'd love to pray for you. Come on up and feel free just to come on up. And I tell you what, just to give people a little bit more freedom, if you want prayer, come on up and I'm going to pray for you. If you don't want prayer, you can either stay here and pray for us what we're doing here, or you can go over in the fellowship room and get coffee or water or whatever you want. The pizza should be here in just a couple of minutes. So Andy, if you could pray for the pizza when it gets here, that would be great. So God bless you. If you want prayer, come on up.